This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm pretty sure I know that Tech Talk fella. Do you know him as well?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah, right.
Kinda.
Yeah, you're tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. Of course, our discussion of today is whether or not having too much choice is a bad thing. Is there too much food choice on the menus? Do we have too many e-wallet choices? Too many Netflix shows? Too many fish in the sea could be our next discussion in a moment, where Audrey is talking to us about whether or not you're ready for your last first date.
Imagine that, right? So this is kind of related to our main topic of the day about having too many choices. So it comes back to that whole jam experiment project done in the year 2000. Psychologists Sheena Iyengar and Mark Lepper, they wrote a paper on the paradox of choice. The concept of having too many options can lead to decision paralysis. So 17 years later, two Stanford classmates, they landed on a similar concept while taking an economics class on market design. They'd seen how overwhelming choice impacted their classmates' love lives and felt certain it led to worse outcomes. So they said that Tinder's huge innovation was that they eliminated rejection, but they introduced massive search costs. So people increased their bar because there's this artificial belief that there are endless options to find their life partner, right?
Endless possibilities.
Yeah. So one of these classmates, so their names are Sterling Angus and McGregor. Sterling Angus was an economics major and McGregor studied computer science. They had an idea. What if rather than presenting people with a limitless array of attractive photos, they radically shrank the dating pool? And when I say radically shrank the dating pool, they just gave you one match. So what if they just gave you one match based on core values rather than many matches based on interests, which can change, and physical attraction, which can fade. So they said there are a lot of superficial things that people prioritize in short-term relationships that kind of work against their search for the one. As you turn that dial and look at the five-month, five-year, or five-decade relationship, what really, really matters changes. If you're spending 50 years with someone, they say you could get past the whole height thing. That person is just not tall enough for you. So the pair quickly realized that selling long-term partnerships to college students wouldn't work, so they focused instead on matching people with their perfect backup plan, the person they could marry later on if they didn't meet anyone else. So this study that they did, and what they did was they offered options. They did the study with just college students at Stanford University, and what they expected to happen was they were just looking for 100 responses. They would mail out like a little compatibility test. And they were just expecting 100 people to come back. So basically, the idea was to match people not based on similarities, but on values. So each person would fill out a detailed survey and an algorithm would compare their responses to everyone else's using a learned compatibility model to assign a compatibility score. What kind of questions you might be asking that can help you like, figure out the values? It was questions like, how much should your future kids get as an allowance? Or, you know, do you think you're smarter than most other people at Stanford, or would you keep a gun in the house? So these are the kind of questions, and based on those values, they were hoping
that
the
in-laws in.
Yeah, something like that. So they were only hoping for 100 responses, but within a few days, they had more than 4,000. So they realized there was something to this. And then they started matching people together and based on like things like, you know, if they like, how do I put this? If they had grown up in the same area, they had attended nearby high schools, if they wanted to work in a specific industry, if they had similar sense of humor, they were actually matching these people up and things were working. But within a few weeks, they also began to hear more stories about these matches. People were being matched with their exes, with their best friends' boyfriends, even siblings matched, and everyone was kind of horrified because, you know, we're being matched to like our siblings, right? But they were really ecstatic because they knew it worked, because things like being matched to your sibling or someone within your community is something that they could fix very easily with their algorithm. But they knew that they were getting the kind of right people together, people with similar interests and similar values together. So So they call it the Marriage Pact. It's been happening for more than 2 years now, and it's focused on core values of like the old dating sites, like your OkCupid, you know, which would try and find you like the ultimate partner for the rest of your life. But OkCupid also still runs into the issue of presenting people with infinite options. And then you've got the newer apps like Tinder and Hinge, which emphasize on profile photos, and they're basically built for endless swiping and just, you know, just compounds the whole paradox of choice. So there's also some other apps that try and get you to, you know, find a match and then right after that, meet them quickly. But these same app builders are then, you know, building restaurants where you can make that first date, you know, meet your first date. So it's things like this that they are trying to solve. And, you know, since they're actually reaching out to college students, they're marketing it as the perfect backup plan. Because, you know, people who are in, you know, you're in college, you're not really thinking about, you know, your partner for the rest of your life. But, you know, it's like Rachel and Ross, like they made a pact that, you know, if they were 40 and they weren't married, that they would marry each other, right? So this is the way they are selling it to college students. But basically, they're just eliminating all the choices and trying to give you that one choice, and hopefully, you know, you can make it work with that person.
Which is okay if you want to marry somebody that went to the same school as you, right?
Yeah,
you
know, I guess.
If you want to marry somebody who went to Stanford.
But it doesn't just, cover proximity. Like I said, it comes down to your true values, the kind of person you are, the kind of the kind of life that you choose to live in the future. So I guess they give you a lot of these thought-provoking questions, not just like, you know, if you like tall people brunettes.
Because chemistry is great initially, then other than that, life happens and things matter. Like you know, the in-laws, what, do we allow them in the house? You know, how are we going to raise the kids? You know, what kind of money, how much money we're going to give them? These are sore points that will affect
a relationship going down the road.
Because, you know, because it's just euphoria for the first 6 months and then reality strikes.
I mean, I know Christine has messaged in saying, please sign me up for this marriage pact study. Thanks. We'll forward your name, Chris, I'm sure. I like the idea of it. I mean, and I think we've all seen that Friends episode when they have that conversation.
Oh, my best friends were being.
And I think we've probably, some of us, had this discussion with somebody at some point, you know, as a bit of fun. Mm. But there obviously clearly is some element of value to it, you know? Mm. And so I don't know. I
mean, so here's the thing, like, you know, talking to the younger generation in the office, you know, they've often mentioned how there's just endless choices. And so you meet someone and you think, you know, you've got it made. This guy is really a nice guy and all. And all of a sudden, you know, he's dating someone else because there are just so many options out there. Now that we live in the online dating world, you know, you sometimes don't know how to appreciate the person that you have with you because you think there might be someone even better.
There's someone
there.
I haven't swiped.
When we were at school or college or whatever, you know, it was somebody in your classroom or it's somebody in your year. And if you're lucky, maybe somebody in the older year or the younger year. And that was kind of the choices that you were left with, you know. That sounds kind of harsh, but those are the your small town, for example, your limited choices. Now that you have this infinite amount of choices, there is no wonder.
Or so you think.
There is no wonder that some people are unhappy because they haven't found what they think is that perfect thing, because the idea of that perfect partner has been sold to them for so long, thanks to Disney or whoever, you know, and now you can't find that perfect partner, even though there's a plethora of choices out there. So what is wrong with the world if you can't find that perfect person?
I thought we'd have a U2 song, but anyway.
But here's the other thing, you know, when you finally find that person and you decide to commit, and then, you know, you hit a stumbling block and all of a sudden you are like, oh, maybe I made the wrong choice.
Right.
You know, it's not about working things out.
Mm. It's all about, what was the other one?
Post.
Anticipated regret and
post-decision
regrets. There you go.
There you go.
Time for some music before we move on to our final story of the day. Do we have any more feedback we want to address before we take a quick break? No? Okay, we'll do it after. Pete Townsend is up next with his song, Let My Love Open the Door. And when we come back, why you have to stop trying to please everyone. You just can't do it. Don't go anywhere. If you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.